and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com to all the latest scores, news, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use code PODCAST20, that's PODCAST20, for 20% off an annual subscription. We are super excited for today's new episode that features Tony Baldwin from Georgia. Hello, this is season 2, episode 6 of the D1 Softball Podcast. Ree, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's a good week. We got good weather. I mean, it's fall. We got, you know, the only down part is it gets dark really early, which is kind of disappointing. But I'm a morning person, so it gets brighter in the morning. So I'm trying to look on the bright side. But good. Yeah, it's been fun. We got college basketball starting, which, you know, I'm a nut, so I watch everything. So a little sleep deprived from opening day here, but shouldering through now. So it's great. You can't beat when football and basketball, you know, kind of coalesce. And then we got fall ball and softball taking place. So it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm a morning person, so I don't really mind that the sun is up, you know, a little bit earlier. But it is a little odd when it's 4:30 and it's already getting dark here. But yeah, super excited about basketball and football. I know my mom went to the UCLA basketball game last night, so she's probably most excited about basketball season starting because she's a huge men's basketball fan. But this is about softball, so we'll get into softball. We've got news this week. Haley Dulcini actually is officially now at Texas. I know there were some, you know, they had to go through all the paperwork, but they announced this week that she's officially a Texas Longhorn. And we had Haley on our podcast a couple of weeks ago. So if you'd like to hear about why she chose Texas, you can kind of go back and check that out. And Ree, I know we talked a little bit about this offline, but today's also signing day. We're actually taping this on November 10th. So today is signing day to all those future D1 softball players.
Yeah. And it's been, you know, that's always the day where the Twitter timeline fills up with like every possible congratulations. And it's really cool to see. I mean, it's all sports, not just softball today. Like a lot, you know, it's early signing period for everything but football, basically. And it's just great to see like a lot of those, you know, girls of dreams become reality. And after, you know, you hear about them for so long, and it's just fun. And I kind of tweeted something out, but again, too, it's cool to see that and everyone should be proud. But even if you don't sign today, like there's going to be a place for you. So it, you know, don't stress out about it either. This is the early period. And then as we see transfers and roster things, you know, so, but it's just great. I mean, at all levels, I love seeing kids just, you know, get just the kind of a dream become fulfilled. It's kind of a fun day for that and for their families to get to celebrate. Cause it's, you know, it's a long, long haul to get to this point. And whatever school you choose, whatever division, it's just a cool accomplishment. So I love seeing this stuff.
Yeah. So congratulations to all the athletes, especially the softball players who have signed today. And like you said, Ree, there are still opportunities for those that haven't. That's signing day. Also, we had a new signee at D1 softball for our D1 Players Society in Kiki Malloy. Ree, I know you're a huge fan. Tennessee, what do you got on Kiki Malloy? I'm super excited about Kiki.
Yeah. Kiki Malloy, a stud outfielder, Tennessee softball, you know, just, tremendous athlete, tremendous person on and off the field. Just what we basically, what, you know, the representative for any NLI company right now is just, she's the perfect spokeswoman. And so for us to get her is a real perk. You know, tremendous background, great family. Her, I'm sure most of you know her father, Lawyer Malloy, played in the NFL for many years. And she's got a lot of sisters that are super talented that have played college and are coming up and are going to play college. But like I said, just a really great person. She's not only a tremendous athlete, tremendous softball player, but she's involved in a lot of things off the field here at Tennessee, a lot of leadership things, and just really, really a cool. I think people are going to love to get to know her more through what she shares on our website, because there's a lot more to her than just softball. And I was super excited when I saw that she was interested and wanted to sign up, and really excited for what she's going to bring to our site.
So welcome Kiki Malloy to the D1 Player Society. So now we've got Alex Sirocco from Michigan, Janae Jefferson from Texas, Kinsey Hansen from Oklahoma, Peyton St. George from Duke, and just added Kiki Malloy from Tennessee. There's a few coming up, so stay tuned for the rest of the signees. That's the D1 Players Society.
That's up a next, stacked team, man. That is a stacked team.
It is. I'm like, hey, can we put this team together and play maybe an exhibition game?
Hey, and one, we're taping this on Wednesday, the intro here. And it is Kiki Mua's birthday today, too. So let's give her a birthday shout out. So she signs with us, has a birthday. I mean, the kids just, this is a dream week for her, right?
Yeah, so happy birthday to Kiki Malloy. And we've also got some news, and Larissa Anderson is, they've extended her contract. Bree, talk to me a little bit about the Mizzou head coach.
Yeah, she just announced it yesterday that she signed through the 2026 season. Not a real shock. I think it would have been a shock if anything other than that had happened. But the first extension given by the, they have a new female AD, Desiree Reed Francois, who came to Missouri and kind of the first coaching extension she's had there, which is cool. Female AD extending a female coach. But like I said, really no surprise with that. But good to see it now official. And obviously that's always good with recruiting, you know, helps to the stability there. But it's a program that's been on the rise since she signed and is overcome some bumps with some of those stuff that she had nothing to do with the NCAA, and they just keep rising and rising, and excited to see what they, because they return almost everyone this year, so it's going to be, I think that's going to be something that we're going to see continue. So yeah, Larissa gets the much deserved extension to 2026.
So that's Larissa Anderson, the head coach at Missouri. Then USA Softball, well actually the World Baseball Softball Confederation, announced the under 18 tournament. This is the inaugural under 18 tournament. It used to be under 19. So they've announced the schedule, and it will be hosted in Peru, Lima, Peru. And Team USC will be heading down there. Bree, what do you got on the under 18 WBSC championship?
Yeah, the Women's Softball World Cup. And ironically, you said it's under 18 and it used to be 19. But because they canceled it last year because of COVID, they extended the age eligibility. So most of the kids are actually, a lot of them are 19. So just kidding. We're just like, it's very odd. I find that very ironic, right? Like we finally go under 18 and now we have all 19-year-olds. But yeah, it's going to be December 6th through the 12th in Lima, Peru. 9 countries will be participating. Team USA is ranked number 2, and the field also includes number 4 Mexico and number 5 Puerto Rico, among others. The U.S. will open on the 6th against Colombia and the Czech Republic. And the team includes, the USA team includes 6 current D1 student athletes and 12 that are committed or signed. And among those that are current is Valerie Cagle of Clemson, Aaron Coffle of Kentucky, and Alyssa Humphrey of JMU, among the those 6 that are current D1 players. So really excited to see how they do. I think that's a fun experience for everyone. And I know a lot of the coaches that are coaching them were expecting to kind of, they kind of scheduled a little bit around that, knowing that they would be used a little bit more this season than maybe in past. So really cool to see that take place, and excited to see what some of the other teams bring too. I think that's always good for the world to see what some of the other teams can bring.
So that's in December, the WBSC, and hosted by Lima, Peru. I actually was talking to Rhea about this, was able to coach the women's national team, Peru national team. So I want to give a special shout out to Marisa Matsuda, who is the president there in Peru. She is an incredible ambassador to the game, and just really bringing the sport of softball and baseball and the development of it to Peru. So just excited that they're hosting down in Lima, and best of luck to all of the participants that will be heading down to Peru. So that's some international softball. Then we're going to head back into Division I softball. We had announcements this week that JMU will not be able to play in the conference tournament, CAA. Rhea, what do you got on that?
Yeah, it became official the other day. JMU's leaving the Colonial Athletic Association, which we've discussed on previous pods, how Texas and Oklahoma leaving the SEC, leaving to the SEC from the Big 12. It's the chain reaction that happens every time realignment happens. All these different things start to, you know, trickle down. So we're seeing everyone flee and people try to stay. But because they're leaving, they're going to join the Sun Belt. JMU is joining the Sun Belt in the future. But there's a bylaw that's been like a 2-decade bylaw that when a program leaves, or, you know, school leaves, they can't participate in the postseason tournament. So before, East Carolina, Richmond, Old Dominion, George Mason, that happened when they left. And now it's happened again. and there's always outcry. There's more outcry now, I think, just because the student athlete welfare, you know, part of it is, and rightly so, that should be always. It's a shame that the student athletes have to suffer from this. But JMU had actually, you know, been supportive of this in the past when these other schools left. So it's kind of, you know, I hate to say it, but like you either got to change the bylaw or you can't complain. But the athletes are the ones that get stuck down and get the repercussions, which isn't fair. So the athletes have started a movement called Athletes Unite. They want to get signatures and oppose the bylaw. We'll see what happens. But as of now, they none of their teams going forward can participate in the postseason tournament. Softball was supposed to host, too. So we'll see what happens. I just don't like when it impacts athletes that had nothing to do with, you know, decisions. But it's kind of hard to figure out other ways to do it. And I understand I get what some of these conferences want to do. They, you know, they don't just want people leaving at will. But they're going to have to figure out a different way than this, because this just doesn't seem like the right way to do it, in my opinion, either.
No, it just doesn't seem fair, and it shouldn't. They should be able to play out the season and be able to play for the tournament. Like you said, it's impacting the athletes, and at the end of the day, hopefully, if there is enough signatures and enough outcry, that they will take a look at this bylaw and maybe consider revising it, because, you know, it's just unfortunate if they can't play for a championship. And a lot of these conferences, that's the bid to their NC2A tournament. So yeah, that's for, you know.
And honestly, this year, JMU, I mean, we're going to have the fall report probably either this week or next week. I just finished it. Talked to Lauren. I mean, they lost 7 starters and like they have 10 freshmen. And like there's only 2 players that batted above 240 coming back. So they might need that one bid. Like, it's not like usually in the past, JMU's been pretty safe, and they still got a chance to be really good. Don't get me wrong, but it could be one of those years where like you may need the bid more than others. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. So we'll keep you updated on that. And if we have any new information, we will let you know. That's the news for the week. Now we're going to get into our guest, Ree. Who do we have on the podcast this week?
We have brand new Georgia head coach, Tony Baldwin, not new to Georgia, but new in the head coach role. Tony joined us to talk about just how he's kind of filled those shoes from Lou Harris Champer and some of her exploits going on now, what she's really become into and started to become competitive at, and then his route to get to softball coaching, which is extremely interesting. I loved it. I mean, you guys are going to learn some stuff I don't think probably knew, and it's fascinating. It's interesting how people's past just end up getting to where they are. I think everyone's going to enjoy this interview tremendously. I did. I was very entertained by it. So sorry, that is my phone.
I love it.
Journey. Don't
my favorite songs.
I have Journey. Don't Stop Believing. It's a motivating thing for me when I hear people call me. I never stop believing. So
don't stop believing. Here's Tony Baldwin, the head coach of Georgia softball.
And we are now joined on the D1 softball podcast by Georgia softball coach Tony Baldwin. Baldwin starting his first season as the head coach at Georgia after spending the last 8 years as an assistant. He is replacing some big shoes in Lou Harris Champer, who retired following the Dogs' run to the World Series in the spring, which we were there in Oklahoma City, got to see that. Before moving to college softball, Baldwin actually coached baseball at Michigan State, Dartmouth, and his alma mater, Butler. So he's got both sides. He's been a longtime college coach in different realms. So thank you so much, Tony. Welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate what you guys do for college softball and promoting our game. I think it's in a great place, and it's an exciting time, and having people that are promoting it, I think, is a super valuable tool.
Well, I appreciate it. As we mentioned, I mean, it's not like you had to go far. I mean, you moved to a bigger office maybe in that building.
I have windows now. That's nice.
That's good. Windows. Wow. That's an upgrade. But I see, our audience can't see, but I can see because we do this Zoom, is that you have like 900 trophies behind you, apparently. It seems like these little glass things.
Those are all American awards.
Wow.
That's pretty nice.
There's a few up there.
We've had a couple good players come through. I'm sure that there's some good trophy cases around the country, but you know, we'll hold our own.
Yeah, man. Any recruit that walks into your office, that's a pretty good, you know, that's pretty good. But yeah, as I was kind of alluding to, you know, first few months in just a different title, a little different role, but how have the first few months been as the head coach? Is there any, I know when we talked from the fall report, which people can check out on D1 Softball, we kind of got into that, but I'd love to hear from you now that fall's kind of made its way through. How has it been being there?
It's been great. You know, the girls have really worked hard. We've had a good fall. Certainly there were some adjustments, and then we've had, you know, while this, you know, we were in school last year, this year you're actually, they're going to classes and managing that whole thing. It has been really positive. The staff has been great. I thoroughly enjoy, you know, coming to the office and working with them each and every day, and kind of getting to put our own stamp on it. You know, the Arkansas football coach, Sam Pittman, he used to coach here at Georgia. And, you know, I saw they were off to a good start. I think they were like 5-0 or 6-0 when they played Georgia in football. And one of the things that Sam said was, you know, he was a longtime assistant, much like myself. And he said, I don't know if we're doing this right or wrong, but we're doing it exactly the way that I want to do it. And we can live with the outcomes. And I feel that as well. I learned a lot. I've had a lot of really good mentors. There's so many things I learned from Lou over the years, and we're trying to hold on to a lot of the things that have made Georgia what it is. But also add some things that more in line with my personality or our staff's personality. And it's been a lot of fun kind of getting those things implemented.
What do you think maybe has been, and again, it's going to still be, because it's only been a few months and you have a full season to go through, but so far, what do you see as maybe the biggest difference or something maybe you didn't know that, you've observed it, but then you're in that chair that's a different feel or a different thing you had to do that you didn't do before?
Well, I think just the biggest thing is that, you know, for me to do the head coach role the way I want to do it, it's a lot more involved. It's just a people position. And so I spend my day managing people and working with people and communicating a lot more than I do, you know, being locked in on our hitter swings. You know, Alyssa DiCarlo was a great player for us, and she's got a really bright future as a hitting coach. And so, you know, I spend time with her talking about what I see and what she sees and what do we need to do. And then, you know, then I allow her to go put together, you know, the things that we need to do today. And certainly I'm going to have my hand in the offense as I've done that a long time, but coaching the coaches, so to speak, you know, then meeting with our players and communicating, you know, I think one of the things that we've tried to do is over communicate, if there is such a thing. I'm a big believer that, you know, something I saw a long time ago is the number one source of drama within any organization is people thinking they know what somebody else is thinking. And since there is this change, you know, I've really tried to be on the front side of why we're doing what we're doing and communicating ahead of the ball so that they don't get into this making up their own narrative as to why things are being done the way they are.
The team coming back this year, I mean, I know it's been a young team. I know last year you brought in a, you know, pretty large class. So sure. It, in a sense, if you're going to step away as a coach, I can see like, hey, letting you grow with this team. How has it been? How have you seen in terms of the performances in the fall, what you're seeing from this team, any particular players that have really kind of stood out so far?
Yeah, you know, it's fun. You know, the part about, you know, going from their freshman year to the sophomore year, you know, oftentimes in my experience over the years is the sophomore year is actually a pretty difficult year because so many times your freshman year, you're scared to death. You're just trying to survive and figure it all out and stay afloat, you know, and then by your sophomore year, you think, oh, I got this, you know, and then all of a sudden it doesn't go the way, nothing ever goes the way that, you have it visioned in your mind. You know, again, from an experience standpoint, people have a tendency to remember how things finished and then the highlights. You know, they don't remember the struggles as much. And so, you know, they come back their sophomore year and hey, we're at the World Series and we played great and everything's all going to be roses. And, you know, reminding them about the journey and the process, that's really the important piece. And so we've spent some time doing that, but some of them have definitely matured. Sydney Kuma has really had a good fall. She's been a good player for us, but defensively, she's really adapted well to some of the things that JT has brought to the table. And then just seems to be coming into her own, feeling comfortable in her own skin. You know, that's the number one job for me, is to get them all to feel comfortable in their own skin and understand that our team and our environment is a safe space for them to flourish. And she's certainly done that. Sarah Mosley's had a great fall. She's really been exciting to watch. I still have really a lot of high hopes for Jada Kearney. She's a star in the making. And then Jaden Fields got off to a little bit of a slow start this fall, but has finished the second half really consistently well and been highly competitive. So pleased with those. You know, they're not the only ones, but those four kind of come to mind right off the shoot. And then Britton Rogers is throwing the ball really well. So, you know, the big thing for our pitchers is just stacking good days together. You know, I think everybody across the country would love to say they have Montana Fouts or Rachel Garcia or, you know, that person that you just flip them the ball and, you know, tell the other team, see if you can figure it out. But we don't have that. But I do think we've got people that can be competitive in our league. They just have to get consistent at stacking good days together. And I'm pleased with where they're at in that process.
Yeah, I think I love the analogy you made when we spoke for the fall report. It's kind of a bit like a relay race. You know, you hand the baton off, you run as fast as you can as a pitcher, and then you hand it off to the next one.
Sure.
That's a great analogy.
You know, and that's, I think, I mean, heck, you just watch the playoffs in baseball and you know, that's what they're doing in that league too. You know, there's just so much scouting and information available. You're a pretty darn good pitcher when you can go through a lineup three times in a game. The more that teams see you over the course of the weekend, the more the edge starts to shift in favor of the hitters. So, you know, if we can kind of use that mindset, then I think that we'll have a chance to be pretty competitive.
Now, you mentioned the World Series, and we'll kind of take you reminisce back. You graduated from Butler with a degree in finance and four-year starter at catcher, though. So you're a catcher, which we love on the D1 Softball Podcast. We're a big podcast here. When did you know baseball was a sport for you? Kind of give us a little bit of your upbringing there. You know, where were you raised and kind of how did you get into baseball?
Yeah, I grew up in Bloomington, Indiana, home of Indiana University. So I grew up right there in Hoosier country. And, you know, I played all the stuff growing up, baseball, basketball, did a little swimming when I was younger, golf. I actually probably should have listened to my high school guidance counselor. And he was the one that said, Tony, you can do some good things on the golf course. Maybe you should go that way. And I was like, nah, I'm going to play in the big leagues. I'll play golf when I get old. Well, sure enough, I probably had a chance to maybe do a little bit better on the golf course than I did in the batter's box. But my real passion, honestly, was for basketball. I just happened to be better at baseball. But I grew up, like I said, in Bloomington, Indiana, where, you know, at the time that was Bob Knight heyday and Indiana basketball was it. And if you didn't play basketball in Indiana, then people asked what was wrong with you. And so I grew up playing high school basketball with Pat Knight, which was Bobby's son. And we had some pretty good teams. And that was really my thing. And then, but I just happened to be better at baseball. And that kind of led me there. And then my plan actually was, you know, as a finance major, I was going to become a golf pro and manage golf courses. That was my plan. And then my senior year, the head coach said, hey, would you be interested in sticking around and trying out coaching? And I thought, beats looking for a job. So sure. And, you know, here I am 27 or 28 years later, still doing it.
So, wow, Tony, that's amazing.
So, Tony, what's your handicap? Let us know. What is it?
Well, today I'm going to say it's probably in that 12 to 15 range, but I've had it down there in the single digits before. And a couple years ago, after our 2018 World Series run, I took the benefits of that to took my dad and basically like a close family friend. We went to Scotland for a week and played golf over there, and it's been a fun part of kind of my bonding with my dad and been a part of kind of our together time. So I still appreciate golf a lot. We've been able to, and one of the nice things is that JT and Chelsea both enjoy golf. So we may or may not have worked in a couple nine-hole staff meetings on the days off.
That's awesome. Have you been able to get down to the Masters in all your time in Georgia
yet? I have not. No, I'm hoping that maybe now that I've got the HC next to my name, somebody might want to throw some tickets my way, but so far, no luck.
Yeah, you got it, man. That would we'll campaign for it on this podcast. Throw some of the Masters this
way. Somebody want to hook me up? I'm there.
You would hope that you know that you're in that seat. That would has Lou ever? Is she not a golfer? Was she a golfer at all, or was that not so?
Lou is was a tennis. She's a racket sports guru.
Yeah,
and to surprise of no one that you know knows her intimately is she's killing it on the pickleball scene right now. She's won a couple tournaments. She's traveling all over the place and playing pickleball.
Wow, that doesn't surprise. That's awesome. So I'm sure Manny out there has had her on the courts a few times out in Georgia. Yeah. Wow, pickle. We'll have to follow up. There's been a few ex-coaches like in different sports that are now pickleball, like in basketball. I've talked to some former basketball. It's becoming a very big, you know, competitive outlet for these ex-coaches. Yes.
It's actually that's quite ruthless. Awesome. My mom is like a pickleball champion in like Orange County, and they are absolutely ruthless.
I would want no part of Lou on the pickleball court. Let me just tell you.
No, I don't either. I wouldn't. No, I'm already looking at that. She intimidated me just in third base, the coaching box. I'm like, don't mess with her. Well, this is. I mean, that's awesome. Your background, I totally know the Hoosier hysteria. You know, I was a big Larry Bird fan. You know, French Lick. Thing. So I can see why everyone thought you probably would have, if you had a barn, you had a hoop up in those days. So
that's what he did. My sister was actually recruited to play Division I softball, Division II volleyball, and chose to go play Division III basketball. So that was her passion.
Wow. Well, basketball was, to be honest, my passion too. I mean, I played four sports, but basketball was my one, softball close to, and then soccer and tennis. So I can see what your sister would have done. Even as short people, you know, there's something about it. You just kind of, and then you reality strikes and you're like, well, it can't be a 5'5" Division I point guard probably. So
I tell this part and probably getting off the rails here a little bit, but at like hitting clinics or speaking engagements is, you know, I was fortunate. I got to play Division I baseball and my sister played Division III basketball. And, you know, I always tell them like, and now we both work for a living and tell lies about how good we are, you know? And so at the end of the day, you know, whether it's Division I or Division III really is irrelevant. And as a matter of fact, I played Division I baseball on the worst team in school history. We set the record for the most losses ever. And my sister played in the Final Four and was second in the country in assists. Who do you think had the better experience their freshman year going off to college? And that usually gets some laughs. But I think the point is, like, go where you're going to have a great experience. And at the end of the day, we're probably all going to work for a living anyway. So, you know, the experience is the thing that you're chasing.
Where was the D3? Where'd you play?
My sister played at Center College down in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I could be the first name, I could be off, but her coach at the time was, I believe it was Cindy Noble, who was an All-American center at Tennessee and played on the Olympic team. And and they were loaded. They were really good.
Yeah, she played in her summit. Yeah, that's a big, that's awesome. Yeah, well, that's a good claim to fame and played on the worst. You were the catcher for the worst team in school history.
Yes.
Tony, woo!
You know, and I tell people all the time, like, listen, I mean, I was thankfully I could catch and throw a little bit. But I was not a good hitter. I hit 180 my freshman year. And I tell people, like, everybody wants to start as a freshman until you haven't got a hit in a month. And then you're like, could I get a day off somewhere in here? I mean, how many more ground outs to shortstop do you need to see before you take me out of the lineup?
Well, last
year I did happen to be captain my senior year of the best team in school history.
Oh.
And then I also went on to coach, where we won our conference 3 of the next 5 years when I was coaching there. So I really got to see us go from the, you know, the outhouse to the penthouse kind of a deal.
That is impressive. Wow, you didn't squeeze that in. That's a really impressive 4-year reign there. That's a
Thank you. Yeah,
you can relate to every type of team then. That's awesome.
The outhouse to the penthouse.
There you go.
It's like the Jeffersons moving on up, right? You know, to the east side. For all the youngins out there, probably don't know what the Jeffersons are, but it's a good show. Check it out probably on YouTube somewhere. Last few, because I know we could keep you forever. I could talk to you forever. I know that. I have on the phone too many times, I'm sure, for your liking, talk to you forever. The switch to softball, how did you make that, and kind of why have you stuck in softball? What made you go from baseball to softball? Sure.
Well, my standard answer to that question is my switch to softball came about either by God's good grace or pure bad luck. And it just depends on the day as to how I really feel about it. But I got out of coaching in 2008. And my wife and I moved to Athens, Georgia, started running a business with some friends here. And after a couple years, my kids and Lou's kids ended up being in the same school together. I was at a Georgia soccer game, which, if anybody's ever been here, knows that the soccer stadium and the softball stadium are connected right by each other. And so my kids are playing underneath the soccer bleachers with these other kids, and they all decide they want to go get their face painted. And so we're standing in line. I've got my kids and these other kids waiting, and over comes their mom. And lo and behold, their mom is Lou Harris Champer. And so as we're standing in line with our kids to get face painted, we start shooting the bull. And yeah, I coached a little bit. And how's the team looking? And next thing you know, I'm the volunteer coach. And that's how I got into softball.
Wow. That's an awesome story. It's all because of face painting.
Now, the other aspect of that story is, when I was coaching baseball at Michigan State, Jackie Joseph, her office was right across the hall and became a dear friend of mine. And I now refer to her as my softball godmother. But when I left Lansing, she said, you know, Tony, if you ever think about getting into coaching again, you ought to try softball. I was like, you don't have to worry about that. I'm done. I'm not coaching anymore. And I'm certainly not coaching softball. And then here I am. Go figure. But I've loved it. I fell in love with the team. My first team at Georgia was the fall of 2010. And that was a pretty special group. You know, they'd gone to the World Series in 9 and 10. And it was Megan Wiggins, Taylor Slopey, Alyssa Goler, you know, just some really, Laura Trout, who coaches at Illinois now. I mean, it's a really, really good group. And they welcomed me in, and it was a lot of fun. And like I said, we were a pretty good team. And I thought, man, this softball thing's pretty cool. And there we go. And off we went. After a couple years, I my wife said, you want to do this full time again, don't you? And I said, well, if I could get a good opportunity, I'll take it. And so lo and behold, I call up Jackie and I say, Jackie, you know, if I could get a full-time job, I would be interested. And she's like, I knew it. I just got off the phone with Donna Papa and she wants to talk to you. Now, I didn't even know North Carolina had a position open. And the next thing you know, I was talking to Coach P and she hired me on at North Carolina. And so I was there for 2 years. And then Lou called and said she wanted me to come back. And here we are.
Wow. That's so cool.
That's
great
story.
Yeah, you did.
I'm like the Forrest Gump of the softball world. Like, it just worked out. I can't really explain it.
Forrest Gump. That's awesome. Yeah, well, that's those Georgia teams, man. Those were fun ones. I covered Taylor in high school, and first player I've ever seen be able to hit a grounder to short and make it to third base, like before the throw even went to first. I was like, that girl can run, and she can pitch. She was special. She was a pitcher.
Yeah.
So that was a fun times, fun teams. Well, this has been, an immense pleasure. We would love to have you on again once the season starts, if you wouldn't mind. There's so many stories that I think we could still tell. It's great. This has been a fun one. And this is exactly what our podcast is like. We love kind of learning some of the insides of the coaches and their journeys to softball. So we know that you guys have a lot of goals for this season with Georgia, and we'll be following. There's a lot of good softball to be played, and we can't wait. But yeah, thank you so much, Tony Baldwin, first year as the Georgia head coach, but a longtime Georgia staffer there. Thank you for letting us see all those trophies in your office, and we will definitely invite you back, and have a great rest of the week. And thank you so much for joining us on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate what y'all do. Anytime.
I think I could talk to Tony. I guess we say this about all of our guests, but just the trophies in the background, just his demeanor, everything about him, how he got bitten by the softball bug. I'm a huge fan, and I hope that our listeners enjoy the interview as much as we did.
I know we say, and it's, hey man, we get good guests. We don't, it's fun, but honestly, it's fascinating to learn about some of these people. And the fact that he was just on like the worst team and the best team in his college history was hilarious. And then just the face painting, like that's how I got in the softball. My kids wanted to get their face painted. So, it's just the things, like, I just love those kind of those stories are just tremendous. And I'm definitely going to be scouring the pickleball courts down near the Athens area soon, because yes. I'm getting that exclusive with Lou. I'm going to figure out what's going on down there. But yeah, fascinating. Tony's great. He's always been really good with the media. Even when he was an assistant, he was always a media regular. So I'm excited to have him back on once the season gets started again.
So big thanks to Tony Baldwin for joining us this week on the D1 Softball Podcast. That's it for season 2, episode 6. I think we're already to 6. I believe, it's flying by. I can't believe it. Bree, any closing thoughts for the week?
No, just, you're probably going to do it too, but I'm going to encourage everyone to check out all our fall reports on d1softball.com. We're just cranking these things out, and they're fascinating. I'm learning so much. We've had, I think we just dropped Georgia Tech today on a Wednesday. We had Arizona yesterday, which was great. We had Florida on Monday. It's well worth a subscription if you're a softball fan. There's just so much good information in there. And then once we get these D1 players joining, it's amazing. So go to d1softball.com, subscribe. Again, I'm going to say it. We have no supply chain issues. If you need a gift for Christmas, give the gift of D1 softball. You can get 20% off. We've got all these good deals going on right now. So I just encourage everyone. I'm a little biased, obviously, but I love it.
You heard her. So we've got special 20% off an annual subscription. You can use podcast 20 and get 20% off an annual subscription. Like, subscribe, head on over to d1softball.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at info@d1softball.com. And that's going to do it for this week. We will see you next week on the D1 Softball Podcast. Tara Henry.